So today we have a very interesting Torah portion from the scriptures, and I would like you to read with me, and we'll have some time of discussion, and I have a few questions actually for you today. So this is the Torah portion, Parshat Vayishlach, He sent, Genesis chapter 32, from the verse 4 or 3, it's different Bibles, different number of verses here. So if you will miss a verse, please look, look there in your Bible, it's near. Till chapter 36, verse 43. The theme of the Torah for this week gives us an instructive and very beautiful picture how the believer who the Lord has called is to deal with my major crisis in his life. So this is the story about Jacob who is going through major crisis in his life. And it's a beautiful story, beautiful picture. And I have a question for you. Do you know anyone who never experienced troubles and trials in his life? Do you know anyone? Maybe you such person, please. Okay, the second question. Why do crises happen to us? Is something wrong with our faith? You know, some believers taking it so personally and they doubting in the Lord, in faith, in something. But I want to tell you, of course not. Scripture tells us that that there will be crisis in the life of every believer. And not only life of believer, but in the life of every person on this earth. Crisis is the part of every believer and every creature, part of the life. And especially, so then God has called upon our life. Especially. At such a time, we will have definitely have trials and spiritual opposition will cause change of our character and influence our view of life. So the time of crisis, this is the very important time for all of us. You know, our faith can grow during the crisis time. Amen. And we are able to keep our faith during the good times of our life and during the difficult times of our life. And the crisis is the part of it. So think, for example, about boat who is on the surface of the water. Why it is? Because of the resistance from the water. The ship is able to go forward. Think about bird in the sky. Why is the bird can fly in the sky? Because of the resistance of the air. What would happen if no resistance on this earth? Would it be good or not? What do you think? No. You see, the resistance is good. No resistance, it's a huge problem. And now consider what would happen in the life of a person who never encounters difficulties. Can you imagine this golden boy? Come on. I'm dust. I'm not golden. Think about a person who doesn't experience troubles. This is not real. It's impossible. It's impossible. We need to experience resistance. We need to face obstacles. We need to encounter challenges so that we can learn how to deal with it during these difficult times. We need those troubles and trials in our lives so that we can grow stronger in our spirit, in our body, in our life. It is by resistance that we learn to resist. It is by our coming that we learn to be our comers, to overcome the world. Let me ask, what is the best response when one faces a difficult circumstances? And I know there are people, we are human creatures, so we have different responses, but three major responses. First, somebody can have a rabbit reaction. Run away from problems. Somebody can have ostrich reaction. bury his head in the sand. I don't see anything, it's no problem there. Or try to run faster is problem. Have you ever tried to run with your head in the sand? I did many times. And I tell you, it's difficult. Your head, it's always painful and it's stuck in the sand. Of course, in spiritual life. And the third reaction is to place confidence in God and confront the problem that is before you. This is the third reaction. And we as a human beings are optional, we're open to all the reactions. And it's normal for us. The first reaction is to run. Second reaction is to bury our head in the sand. And it's normal reactions because we are human beings. But as a believers, only third reaction is right for us. Is to look in the answer from the Lord. Because He's giver of answers for us. Amen. And I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Rabbi Shaul, he is answering that question to us, and it's very clear and obvious. I pray that from his glorious riches, he would grant you to be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Ruach. Do you remember? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by rabbit reaction, not by ostrich reaction, but by spirit the Lord is the victor there. In today's Torah portion, we read a wonderful example of difficult situation and appropriate response of it. So let's read from Genesis chapter 32, the story of Jacob. I mean, this was after Jacob flew from his father-in-law. They had such wonderful relationships there, so he flew from that great love. Far, far away. And he took his two wives. Do you remember? He wanted to have one wife. But now he has two wives. It's good. So, verse 7, 32:7. What he did? He sent messengers to his brother Esau to tell him that I'm coming. And he would like to know response of Esau, his brother, actually. He is wise. So what's happening here? The messengers returned to Jacob saying, we went to your brother, to Esau, and he is also coming out to meet you. Stop here, please. So what a beautiful picture. Jacob is going to his brother, and his brother also coming to meet him. I mean, great picnic time. Reunion of brothers. But read the last part. Not only Esau, but he took with him 400 men with him. Could you imagine? I mean, army. Where's the women here? Where are the children? 400 men with armor. So it means that Esau coming to kill him. To put a dead end here. So Jacob, I mean, I know some people would say, Jacob, you need to be rejoicing. It's great, it's trials, it's the Lord will lead you. But Jacob became extremely afraid and distressed. I would do the same. 400 men against me, I mean, one, two, it's okay, but 400, too much. So let's say together, extremely afraid. Distressed. Not afraid, but extremely afraid. He went into fear. He understood this is the end of his life. Nothing could he do. It's the end. And distressed. So, I mean, he lived through emotions of stress, of fear in his life because of the situation. He divided the people with him, along with the flocks and herds and camels, into two camps. So Jacob's is between a rock and a hard place. He is facing insurmountable problem. He is no longer in control of his life, in his situation. He lost control. Nothing can he do. Nothing. Laban was behind him, his lovely father-in-law. All the memories of slavery, physical defeat, spiritual defeat, and impossibility to fulfill the will of the Lord is there behind him. And actually, the Lord told him to go forward. He told him, enough, Jacob, took your wives, your children, your everything, and go away. So now he's facing the problem, slavery behind him, and death in front of him. What to choose? Death or slavery? Surely this was the most critical crisis Jacob has ever faced. The most critical time. And for us, of course, we can turn page to the next and read the what's happened and say, Jacob, don't be afraid. What's the problem you have? You have an answer on the next page. But this is a story for us. We don't have next page yet. It will be the next day, next week, next month, next year for us. But what reaction? It's a great picture here. Let's read from the verse 25 about reaction of Jacob. So Jacob remained all by himself. And this is the key word here. He remained all by himself. I mean, it's amazing. It's a key for the answer here. He remained by himself. Alone. He sent everyone. He stayed alone. He wants to do something here. He's preparing to take a step. He's looking for a special place. Then a man wrestled with him until the break of dawn. When he saw that he had not overcome him, he struck the socket of his hip. So he dislocated the socket of Jacob's hip when he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn has broken." But he said, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." And the verse 28. Then he said to him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he said. Then he said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but rather Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man, and you have overcome." The verse 30. Then Jacob asked it and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "What's this? You are asking my name?" Then he blessed him there. The verse 31, so beautiful picture. So Jacob named this place Peniel, or Penuel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life has been spared. Peniel, it means face of God. This place, he called it face of God. Wow. I don't know. We can stop here, but it's already so many information here. So two moments I would like to show here. First, he was left alone in the place that he later called Peniel, face of God. Nowhere to go. Only one place. Face of God. He was looking to find the place where the God is there. He find the face of the Lord. He was praying in that place. And the second, he fought with the Lord. So how can he fought with the Lord? And I mean, it's impossible. What do you think? I know we tried in our life before, but useless. This is why we're here. Because it's useless. It's better to be with the Lord, not against him. In Hosea chapter 12, verse 4, this is the answer how Jacob fought with the Lord. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and won. He wept and sought his favor. This how he wept. He wept. He prayed. He humbled himself. Jacob came to a place of complete solitude. For him, the game was over. He could no longer trust and rely on his own strength. Not anymore. Finished. Too huge, too big crisis. Ahead of him was death. Behind was slavery. He had nowhere to go, nowhere to hide, nowhere except the face of God. The only place he could go was Peniel, presence of the Lord, face to face with God. When you have no other hope, there is still a place where you can search for the face of God. A place where you can pray, you can fight, you can beg. There is a place where you can get answers from the one who can answer every argument, clarify every concern, quiet every quarrel, mediate every matter, process every problem. There is always a place where you can find the face of God. Through Yeshua, through his death and his resurrection. And I would like to step back here. I noticed that for some people, crisis is the end of everything. They couldn't hold that crisis. They're ready to die, to kill themselves. But we are, as the believers, we have opportunity to become stronger, to grow, to change for the better, and to glorify the Lord. And if you remember Moses, he became to be a Moses, we know, not through great time in Egypt, but through crisis in the wilderness. Do you remember this story? Yeah, we were there. No, we read in the scriptures, yeah, of course. If you remember, one of the greatest examples for us, Joseph. Without crisis, he would be a nice Jewish boy. Joseph was a great boy. He wore great colorful things and he was cool. It's all. But now we know Joseph. Why? Because he won through crisis. He won his run with the Lord. He won. Yeshua went through great crisis in his life. And he won for us. He won for us. Jacob was called by God, and more than anything else, he valued his birthright. He paid great price for his birthright. He knew if he continued to follow the Lord, he will have been able to accomplish his calling. He knew about it. And he knew where to go to run to the Lord. So let's read what's happened next. The verse 29. And he said, "From now on, your name will be not Jacob, but Israel." Let's say together, Israel. "For you have fought with God, and you will overcome man." Jacob also asked, saying, "Say your name." And he said, "Why do you ask my name?" And blessed him there. So what's happened? The Lord answered his prayer. And interesting how. And this is a very interesting moment here. Verse 26. Let's open with me. So you'll be sure it's in the scriptures. It's not my theory. Verse 26. When he saw that he had not overcome him, he struck the socket of his hip. So he dislocated the socket of Jacob's hip when he rested with him. Wow. What an unexpected answer. Can you imagine? Lord, deliver me. And the Lord touched his hip. Boom. After that moment, he could not run. Who would like such kind of answers? No, we don't like this. Okay. I don't think he also. So what's happened there? The most important thing to notice here, Jacob's circumstances does not change for the better. They stayed the same. They even get worse. Before Jacob can run for his life, and 400 men chased him. But now he couldn't run. He's crippled. He has problem. But what's interesting, although Jacob's circumstances have not changed, Jacob has. Amen. Jacob's heart has changed. And now the Lord changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And actually, it's a sign of changes inside of Jacob. He's a different man. So everything's the same. Slavery behind, enemy ahead. I couldn't run anymore. But he changed. The Lord answered his prayers differently. By his nature, probably he would like to pray that the Lord will kill Esau, deal with him, or just send them more or problems in him, or punish his father-in-law, or I don't know what he would pray. I don't, Jacob. But the Lord's way was to bring healing into his family, restoration between brothers. This was the highest plan of the Lord, wisest plan. And this is our Lord. When he's working, it's amazing. It's amazing. So nothing changed, but he did. The same problems, but different Jacob. Different view, different vision, different everything different inside of him. We prayed about it here under the Talit. Then he said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but rather Israel. Victory comes first to Jacob's heart, and only then to Jacob's physical world. And this is how it works, through faith. The first answer through faith is in our hearts. Faith, it's when we trust, we believe, when we don't see yet. And after our heart, victory in our hearts, it comes to our natural physical world. This is how it was with Jacob. He received the power to overcome everything by the Lord, by his power. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. In the end, Jacob became Israel. And now we have nation Israel. Because of that meeting, because of that crisis, because of that difficulties, we have Israel today. It's beautiful. He earned a name change. He came face to face with the greatest test on his life, and he won. Jacob won. What a great lesson to all of us, I believe. It's a great lesson to me. I'm blessed by the Lord because of this lesson. We want the Lord to take away the crisis from us, always. This is our reaction, and it's a normal reaction. Defeat our enemies. Level the mountains and dry the seas. The Lord do that now. But, sometimes the Lord does it. Sometimes he's drying the seas for us, taking mountains away. But sometimes, instead of taking mountains away, the Lord changes our hearts. Gives us another name. And I would like to tell you that all of us here, we have another name in heaven, heavenly names. And when we see ourselves in the mirrors, we know ourselves as old people. I mean, not old, but, you know. But now we are a new creature in the Messiah Yeshua. We are called by the Lord. He called us by new name, new nature inside of us, nature of the Holy Spirit. So He fills us with faith and His presence so that we can go through all the difficulties of our lives. Now we will be able to pass through the sea as children of Israel did. We will be able to order the mountains to part. In the Matthew chapter 21, from the verse 21, Yeshua answered them, "Amen, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, trusting, you shall receive." Change of the hearts. Meeting with the Lord caused the change of the hearts. It has name, faith from the Lord, from Yeshua. And I want to tell you, we are already winners. Yeshua has already won a victory for us when He purchased our redemption. And I want to congratulate you. You are winners. Mazel tov. Yeah. Mazel tov, you are winners. You may consider the victory already won. There was a moment in history when Yeshua said, "It is finished." On the cross, "It is finished." Ever since that moment, we may consider it done. It's paid. It's finished. It's so good. It's so good. So what a lesson from here. Each of us needs our personal Penuel, our meeting place with the Lord. We need a place to search and beg Him to show us the way, change us, fill us with His faith, that we can overcome the obstacle before us. This is a very specific place. Find the face of the Lord. For a believer, any crisis is an opportunity to glorify God, to face up the challenges, to consider obstacles, conquer obstacles, to learn, to have a change of hearts. And now I would like to touch one more issue here, very interesting question here. With whom did Jacob fought? This is very important. With whom? So, I would like to show first picture. Can we show here? I mean, this was the one of the oldest picture in the history of... Okay. Something doesn't work. Please tell me when it will be here. Oh, yeah, here it is. So immediately when we think about fight with Jacob, like this picture came to our mind. Huge angel and small Jacob. But I don't think so. I don't think any man can conquer the angel. What do you think? Or is it possible? It should be a very good wrestler. What do you think? I think this is wrong picture. Let's look at the next picture here. I think this is right picture. This was picture about Jacob, who is looking, desperately looking for the Lord, crying, begging Him to help him, to save him, to take him away out of these obstacles. Not strong, it's not what doesn't work with the Lord, but humble. This is the way to receive from the Lord. This is the way. And it is impossible to see God the Father and stay alive. It's scripture said, it's impossible. And much less is possible to see Father's face. It's impossible. So then, who did Jacob see face to face? I have the question for you. I want to read it from 32 one more time. Verse 31. So Jacob named the place Penuel, for I've seen Elohim. If you read Torah, Elohim. Who is Elohim? Our God, our Creator. Face to face, and my life has been spared. So if it's not the Father, I believe he met with the angel of the Lord, in Hebrew, Malach, also translated as messenger. And many times in the scriptures, when we see angel of the face of the Lord, is the Mashiach, is the Messiah. It's one of his names. So it's so dear for me. Why? Because Yeshua came to Jacob during his trials in crisis. By himself, he came to him personally. He did not send angels to help Jacob. He did not send powers, principalities, or something else. By himself, he came into his boat. And he saved Jacob from death. And I like it. I'm so full of the gratefulness to the Lord. This is actually thanksgiving to the Lord. Because he is always in the crisis. During the time of Abraham crisis, he asked, Lord, please give me the son. Yeshua came to him. And he gave him son. Moses, everyone, Yeshua is there. Yeshua did not send angels to his place, but he personally came there. His love for us is greater than we can understand. His compassion for us is great. We could not embrace everything. He loves us so much. And actually, it's a good picture here. Please think about Peter when he walked on the water, believed Yeshua's words. But when Peter lost his focus and began to look on the waves and the wind, he became sin. He became frightened, and his faith ran away from him. And he began to sink into the sea. At that moment, I believe, Peter was expecting to become a victim of the wind and waves. Done. What can I do? Man doesn't walk on the water. What I did here? Why? Stupid Peter, it's the water. I'm a fisherman. I know this. It's... What was with me? Why I walked here? I don't know how many thoughts was in his mind. So at that moment, he completely forgot that the Almighty Lord himself was with him in Yeshua. But Yeshua approached him and stretched out his hand and saved Peter. So this is reminder for us. When we are in the crisis in our lives, we often forget that Yeshua is near. He is in our boat. He loves us. He paid price for us. He is never forsake us. Never leave us. He is with us. And I would like to stop here. I just want to say a few words. And I want to pray for you. If you are in the middle of crisis, this is not the end for you. I believe this is an opportunity for you to praise the Lord. And, I mean, it's not pleasant, and we don't need to be joyful and, you know, to... When it's hard, it's hard. This is why it said, cry with somebody who is crying. When it's hard, it's hard. But as believers in Yeshua, we have an opportunity to find a place named Penuel. Face of the Lord. And Yeshua is there. He is ready to change our hearts. He's ready to come to us in our boat and help us when we sink. Sink because of us. Our unbelief. I know we are strong believers when everything's okay. And we know how to answer all the answers and how to say, be strong, why... Yeah, we know how to do that. It's normal. But when something happens and we sink because of lack of faith or fear, or this is the moment when we need to remind ourselves, Yeshua is on our boat. And only place out is to go to Penuel, face of the Lord, to change our hearts and to glorify God. So I would like to stop here and I want to pray for you. And first of all, I would like to ask if anybody here who don't know the Lord yet, it's very difficult to walk in this life without His presence. It's impossible. He's Comforter, He's loving Father. He wants to be close to you. He wants to be in your boat, in your family if you have a problem there, in your personal life when you need Him. And it's possible only through His Son, Yeshua the Mashiach. I would like to open the door of opportunity for you. If you never get right with the Lord, never accepted Him in your life, in your heart, this is the moment for you. Receive Him. He wants to be close to you. He wants to have fellowship with you. Father wants to be in your life through His Son, Mashiach. And I want to pray. This is simple prayers of exception to the Lord. So pray with me. Accept the Lord. Open your heart. I want to pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm coming to you in the name of your Son, Yeshua. And I ask you, please forgive me. Forgive my sins. Forgive my iniquities, Lord. I know you love me so much. Please forgive me. I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. Yeshua, thank you for price, great price you paid for me. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. I accept in you, Lord, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua. Please come into my heart in the Holy Spirit. Fill me and help me to be your son and to follow you. Thank you for your forgiveness. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. And I want to pray for you. Lord, thank you for everyone who is in this place, Lord. Your dear children, Lord. Thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Lord, I ask, bless all of them, Lord. Keep them, Lord. Protect them, Lord. Fill them with your presence, Lord. And even, Lord, fill them with your joy, even during the difficult times, Lord. Thank you for your help, Lord. Change our hearts. Help us to follow you, Lord, and deliver us, Lord. Every one of us who needs deliverance, Lord, from obstacles, from problems, from crisis, Lord, please come and deliver us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Change our lives. And please, most of all, Lord, show your face, Lord. Help us to see way out. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. So let's finish our service with the Aaronic benediction. And please don't be alone. Find somebody. Yiverechacha Adonai veishmerecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Isa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. Thank you, Father, for your face. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Please shine upon us with your faith, Lord. Shine upon us with your light, Lord. Help us to follow you and help us to accomplish everything you have for us. Thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. Wonderful Shabbat. Bless us. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. And